Transformation of our nature. An individual receives all his feelings from above. Thus, if a person experiences a striving, a love, and a pull towards the Creator, it is a sure indication that the Creator also experiences the same feelings towards that person, in accordance with the rule that man is a shadow of the Creator. Thus, whatever a person feels towards the Creator is the same as what the Creator feels towards that person, and vice versa. After the spiritual fall of Adam, the first man, as a result of his sin, which symbolizes the spiritual descent of the primordial soul from the world of Atzilut to the level known as this world or our world, this soul divided into 600,000 distinct parts. These parts enclothe themselves into the human bodies that are born into this world. Each part garbs itself in a human body as many times as it's necessary for it to correct itself completely. When all the distinct individual parts complete their independent process of correction, they will once again merge into one collective soul known as Adam. In the alternating of the generations, there is the cause known as the fathers and the effect known as the sons. The reason for the appearance of sons is to continue the correction of that which has not been corrected by the fathers, meaning the souls of the previous incarnation. The Creator brings a person close to Himself not because of the person's good qualities, but because of the feelings of personal lowness and the desire to cleanse oneself of one's dirt. If a person experiences pleasure from the state of spiritual exhilaration, there may arise within him a thought that it's worthwhile to serve the Creator because of such sensations. In such cases, the Creator usually removes the pleasure from his spiritual state in order to show him the reason he desires spiritual elevation. Either he wants to be a servant of the Creator because of the pleasures he receives, or because of his faith in the Creator. In this manner, a person is given a chance not to act for the sake of pleasure. The removal of pleasure from any spiritual state immediately plunges a person into a state of depression and despair, in which he doesn't feel any zest for spiritual work. It's in this condition that a person gets a real chance to advance closer to the Creator by virtue of faith above reason. The condition of despair gives a person the possibility to realize that the lack of attraction that he feels at the moment towards the spiritual is nothing more than the subjective perceptions of that person, whereas in reality, there's nothing greater than the Creator. We can conclude that a spiritual fall is deliberately prepared by the Creator for his quick spiritual elevation to an even higher level. Thereby, he's given an opportunity to increase his faith. Thus, it is said, the Creator prepares the cure before the illness. And also, with the same thing that the Creator strikes, he also cures. Notwithstanding the fact that every endeavor at removing the life force and the life interest shakes the entire being of a person, if the person truly desires to ascend spiritually, he will welcome the chance to uphold faith above reason to an even greater degree, and by this, to affirm that he truly wishes to liberate himself from personal pleasures. A human being is usually preoccupied with himself, with personal feelings and thoughts, with personal suffering and pleasure. But if he strives to attain spiritual perception, he must relocate the focus of his interests outside of the self, into the space filled by the Creator, so that the existence and the desires of the Creator is all of his life. One must correlate all that happens with his design. He must transfer the self into him, so that only the bodily shell remains within the physical bounds, but the inner feelings, the essence of a person, and of the self, all that is designated as the soul, must be transferred outside of the body. Only then will the force of goodness that permeates all of creation be felt constantly. This feeling is akin to faith above reason. Because a person attempts to transfer all his feelings outside beyond the boundaries of the body. Once a person grasps the faith in the Creator, he must remain in this state regardless of the obstacles that the Creator may send to him in order to increase his faith and gradually begin to receive light of the Creator into it. The entire creation is built on the interaction between two opposite forces: egoism, the desire to receive pleasure, and altruism, the desire to please. The path of gradual correction is in essence the transformation of the egotistic desires into the opposite ones, and this path is built by combining the two forces. gradually small quantities of egotistic desires are included in the altruistic ones and thereby corrected. This method of transformation of our nature is known as the work in three lines. The right line is called the white line because it contains no faults or defects. After an individual gains possession of the right line, one obtains the greatest part of the left line, the so-called red line, because it contains our egoism. There's a prohibition issued on the use of egoism in spiritual actions, since it's possible to fall under its influence, the influence of impure force desires, which strive to receive the light of wisdom, or chachma, for their own sake, to perceive the Creator and to indulge in self-gratification using the perceptions in the egotistical desires. If a person, by virtue of faith above reason, that is, by striving to receive, but not into one's egotistic desires, refuses the possibility of perceiving the Creator, his actions, and his domain, and refuses the gratification from his light. If a person makes the decision to go beyond his natural aspirations to know and to experience everything, to get prior knowledge of everything, to know what reward he will receive for his actions, then that person will no longer be bound by the prohibition of using the left line. This decision is known as the creation of a shadow, because a person isolates himself from the light of the Creator. In this case, a person has the possibility of taking a small part of his left desires and connecting them with the right. The resultant combination of strengths and desires is known as the middle line. It's precisely in this line that the Creator reveals himself. Subsequently, the aforementioned process repeats itself on a higher spiritual level and so on until the end of the path. The difference between hired help and a slave is that in the process of working, the hired help thinks of the reward that will be received for the work. The size of the reward is known, and it serves as the reason for that person's work. The slave, on the other hand, does not receive any reward, but only the bare necessities for survival. Nothing that a slave has belongs to him, but rather to his master. Therefore, if a slave works hard, it indicates that he just wants to please his master, to do something nice for him. Our goal is to adopt an attitude towards our spiritual work similar to that of a slave who works without any reward. Our spiritual endeavor should not be influenced by any fear of punishment or by any anticipation of reward, but only by a selfless desire to carry out the will of the Creator. Moreover, we should not even anticipate perceiving Him as the result, because that too is a form of reward. We should carry out His will without wanting Him to know that we did it for His sake, without even thinking that anything special has actually been done for His sake, without seeing the results of our work, but only having faith that the Creator is pleased with us. If our work should truly be as described above, then the notions of reward and punishment should be completely eliminated from consideration. In order to understand this, it's necessary to know what the Kabbalah means by the notions of reward and punishment. A reward takes place when a person exerts a certain amount of effort in order to obtain something that he desires, and as a result of these efforts, that person receives or finds that which is desired. A reward cannot be something that exists in abundance in our world and that is accessible to everyone else. Work translates into the efforts of a person applied toward receiving a particular reward which cannot be obtained without those efforts. For instance, a person cannot claim that he performed work by finding a stone if stones are in abundance all around. In such case, there's no work and there's no reward. On the other hand, in order to come into possession of a small precious stone, he must exert a great effort because it's very hard to find. In such a case, there are real efforts and hence a reward.